Good evening. We're with St. Joseph's Radio live here in Anaheim at the SCRC Catholic Convention. And welcome Deacon Ken and Marie Finn from San Diego, Diocese of San Diego. We're so glad to have you with us here tonight and live from Anaheim. And their new book, Secrets of a Happy Family. And it's been endorsed by our Blessed Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa. Because Deacon Ken was actually a deacon for her nuns, the Missionaries of Charity in San Diego. So maybe you'd like to share with us a little bit about being here and your book. And
well, it's really an honor for both Marie and I to be here.
Yes, we're very pleased to be here.
We're right now very, very involved in family ministry and we're involved in the marriage. You know, Jesus thought so much about marriage. He compared his church as his bride, and we have that in the scripture in the book of Ephesians, spells it out so clearly. In the last 25 years, we've seen in our own ministry that the rise and fall of our society is directly tied into the family, tied into the marriage, to the relationship that the husband and the wife have to each other. We have all kinds of side issues that have come up because of the lack and the danger that's happened in the marriage. And we're looking right now in California, we're looking at the political situation, we're looking at the initiative coming up now in November for the right of a parent to know their child is going to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. And there's so much controversy in that. And that's really nothing more than just another frontal attack on the destruction of the family as we know it as a Christian family.
And if the family were together, we wouldn't have all the problems that we have. And we have a prison ministry that we send Bible studies and Bibles into the prisons. And over, you know, it can't help to think if the parents, the husband and wife, really knew how to love each other and train their children to be raised with knowing the Lord Jesus and teaching them the word as they're little, we wouldn't have the overflow of prisons. We wouldn't have the abortions that we're having today and the apathy that's come about with all these abortions.
Yes, they do say that many of the prisoners were abused as children and were from families with abusers and love.
And that was true, but now that's fast eroding. Oh. What's happening right now is that marriages are falling in upper middle class,
right,
as well as that.
Mm-hmm.
And what's making them fall, it was kind of like now, you know, easy to blame it on the broken, poor and such like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have to take a look and see what's wrong with that family and some of the basic things. For example, fornication today has become so accepted, so casual, that no one really gets to be an alarm. You've got to sow your wild oats. It used to be just the boys. So we say that and laugh. But now all of a sudden, it's the girls too.
Mm-hmm.
You take a look at the dress code that they have in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
It scares you of the immodesty that they have in the schools, even with the teachers. The teachers, many times, are as sloppily dressed as the children are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're taking that and you jump one step up from the fornication level to the contraceptive level.
Mm-hmm.
83% of our childbearing Catholic age are contracepting. 83%.
That's a gigantic number. Especially since the church teaches
And the church teaches it. And then you make one more jump, and now it's not really that big of a jump anymore. Once you get through the contraceptive level, you make the jump into abortion. Because the abortion is really nothing more than a backup for your taking the pills.
So they're not practicing their faith, nor they're practicing their duties to their families. In other words, they go hand in hand, is what you're saying. You break one commandment, you break them all.
That's right. And the core of it is that men and women don't know the true meaning of what it means to love one another. Mm. It's as simple as that. The core of the problem is people don't know how to love. And they have not come into a personal relationship with Jesus. They have not received the love of Jesus, or they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. They can say it in their head, but they wouldn't be living like they are if they had come in to understand the true meaning of God's love. God's love is sacrificial.
Mm-hmm.
Man's love, or what I call soap opera love,
right,
is bring me flowers. That means you love me. Me, 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 me. It's just right. The opposite. God's love is sacrificial. It's given up of self in order to let another live, to let your spouse be number one.
You know, it sounds like you're trying to paint a picture of doom when you talk like this. But, you know, they said the same thing to Jeremiah. They got so tired of hearing Jeremiah tell them, the people, if you don't repent, you're going to really suffer terrible. Mm-hmm. And they literally kicked Jeremiah to death in a ditch. And Isaiah said basically the same thing. It's time now to change. Mm-hmm. We can become what we were once. They got so tired of him, they sawed him in half. And today, it's people don't want to hear this. It's an affluent society, and they don't want to hear this talk about we're such bad people. It isn't that we're talking about badness. We're talking about the falling away from what the church is teaching. Mm-hmm. The single most visible wall of morality and of God's law is the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. It's like standing all alone in a desert, mm-hmm. and yet it's being chipped away little by little by little. Mm-hmm. And now, as we've come up from that into the abortion level, we're now entering into the next level. That's the euthanasia level. Mm-hmm. And we just watched an American continent, 300 million Americans, watch an innocent 45-year-old woman die from hydration, not because she was brain dead, not because she was terminal. I take more life support system on me right now than Terri Schiavo ever did. She had none of those. And yet none of us said really much of anything. We watched the legalized murder of a young innocent woman. So that's where we've come in a society. We're saying, well, euthanasia is accepted because it has to take people out of their suffering. And where is the core of all of this? Comes all the way back into the family. Mm-hmm. And we've turned away from that into the family. And that's the power that Marie and I see. And Marie just pointed out, and I'm a male, Marie just pointed out that the male is the primary problem, but also he's the primary solution. Mm-hmm. The male has backed away from his role of being the spiritual leader of the family.
Right.
And what he's done over the past 40 years is he's abdicated, and he's forced the woman into a position of taking not just the responsibility, but also the authority. Mm. We have this great cry against the feminism today. There's much of feminism that's very good, but feminism never would have had a start if the male correctly did his spiritual role and took care of his family. He didn't. He's failed miserably. Some, not all, but he's failed. So now what has to happen is that the man has to go back to become a servant leader. And that's really the name of the game. When the male becomes a servant leader, marriages will be healed, families will be healed, and there'll be less people in psychology, in psychiatry, and there'll be less people in mental hospitals and in prisons, and there'll be less divorces. It's all tied up into the male not taking his proper role.
And that's biblical, of course.
Yes, that begins right in the beginning, that God mm-hmm. gave that authority to the man when he created man. Mm-hmm. Because before he even created Eve, he told him to care for the garden, care for all that was there. So he gave him, and he also gave him the order not to eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. Eve was not created at that point. And so the man had the ultimate responsibility of being the spiritual leader in the home. And what's happened today, we're into role reversal. Mm-hmm. Women want to be men, and men want to be women. The women want to be the leaders. They mm-hmm. want to take the headship. And so they've taken it over because the man has advocated his role as the spiritual leader.
So the question then becomes, well, what are you talking about? You sound like a fundamentalist. What you're saying is too fundamental. You're absolutely right. And what you're saying is sounds black and white. You're absolutely right. You're talking about absolutes instead of relativism. It's about time we get back to absolutes. There is a good and evil. There is a right and wrong. And the Catholic Church stands for all that is good, you know, and what it's been teaching since it's been started. We have non-negotiable items that we have here. And one of the non-negotiable items is that the highest priority that we have, as Jesus tells us, love thy neighbor as thyself. Love thy neighbor as I have loved you. Well, you don't love people when you're doing the things we're doing today in our society.
No.
And you don't say because it's pastoral law that we have to take care of it. Then one of the real tragedies we have is some of the most powerful political names in our country are Catholics. And they're writing laws that are so anti-God, that's unbelievable.
It's scary.
Scary.
And also with all the promotion of feminism, the women have less respect.
They have less respect.
Where is the respect to mutilate your own body and your own child and your own body? What kind of brainwashing have especially young women bought into with a culture that says, you know, you need to go to a doctor, even a male doctor, to have him mutilate your body to remove your living life that God gave you? So there is less respect with more power in the way the culture's created it for this culture.
That's right. And if I know it's a proven fact, if the male did take his spiritual role, the woman would follow him down the mouth of a cannon. She does not want the leadership role, even though she's taking it. She really doesn't want it. She wasn't created for that. And if the man took that, and I've seen that over and over, where the man has taken that responsibility, I'm talking about the spiritual responsibility, where he is under Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says that the man is under Christ, and the woman is under the man, and Christ is under God the Father. There's an order here. And so when that order is followed, and the man gets under Christ and is under his headship, submitting his life to God and obeying his word and walking under his headship, the woman will follow him down the mouth of a cannon. She wants that.
Well, the other thing is, it tells you right in 2 Peter chapter 3, I think, very clearly that the man who, the husband who may be feeling, well, you know, I want out of this marriage, or I'm not feeling loved, or I'm dry, I can't even love anymore. The Lord tells him very clearly, I will restore your love and renew you and fill you with love. Seek me, come to me. So if he's spiritually void, how is the Lord going to fill his heart for his wife and his children and his family and renew the marriage? So instead, yeah, they look for the material world to renew it, when the formula is right there. Come to me, I'll renew you.
You know, you're absolutely right. The most critical element in a love relationship is a four-letter word, and it's called time. It takes time to know someone. It takes no time to jump on top of someone, but it takes time to know someone. And if you talk to any couple that has a good relationship, you'll see that they give each other a lot of time. I can tell from 50 feet, well, my age now, maybe it's more like 20, but I can tell at 20 feet when Marie walks across the driveway if it's going to be a good day or a long day for me, just by the way she's walking, because I know Marie. I abide in Marie. I live with Marie. I sleep with Marie. I cry with Marie. I pay bills with Marie. And that's what Jesus says. He says, I want to abide in you. I want to live with you. I don't want to just see you once a week in a pew and wave to you as you go through the parking lot and get in your car, and I don't see you till the following week. And that's what men have to realize, that if they don't give time to their wives, their marriage is going to take a terrific hit. Mm-hmm. And you know, young men, you can get away with it when you're younger, because you get a lot of the hormones cover a lot of sins. And you get little kids, and you got to stay together. But when everybody grows up, and all of a sudden you're looking across the table and you're saying, gee, I know you. The face is familiar, but who are you? You really don't know each other. And so you have to give that time. Well, that time that you give to each other is exact same proportionally to the time that you give to Christ. You can't love someone you don't know. So if a man doesn't even know who God is in the Word, how does he expect to have a real personal relationship with him? It ain't going to happen. And I said, if he doesn't have it with Christ, he's not going to have it with his wife. No. So he is going to say, I can't handle it. My job, I can't handle it. The pressures, I can't handle it because I have a terminal lung disease. I can't handle it because I can't breathe good. And he's going to say all those things. Yet he's going to find a lot of other stuff to fulfill him, right, physically, sexually, emotionally, but still saying he can't do his real role. Mm-hmm. His real role is to die to himself so that his wife can come alive. Mm-hmm. It's easy when you're young. It's even now. It would be easy to physically love Marie. She's lovely. She's funny. She's witty. She's charming. But how about emotionally and spiritually? If I don't catch those nerves, then there's no intimacy. Mm-hmm. And that's what the whole thing is all about. And I'm excited to be on this program to talk with you, because I want some young stallion out there to hear me and all of a sudden say, wait a minute, he's talking about me. And I am talking about that. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that you have to take that time. And when men get into the Word and they see this incredible power called the Holy Spirit come at them and see that the Spirit that lives with them. We talk a lot about the women, you know, and I just was listening to what Marie was saying, and what you just said, too, about the woman's body. It's my body, and I have a right. She didn't have any right to do that. That body was paid for a long time ago by
ransom
Christ.
Ransom, by the way.
Ransom. But mm-hmm. the one I wanted to address is the men. The men have to read that same scripture. He has no right to do what he's doing, because mm-hmm. it's not his body either. Mm-hmm. He can't be out there running around with a condom in his back pocket.
Right.
Trying to nail anything that's moving. Mm-hmm. He can't do that. That's not
predator.
Right.
Right.
That's a predator.
Right.
That's a predator.
It's animal instinct instead of respect for the our Pope John Paul II put out the encyclical on the body. And it's really the difference is to see the respect of the vessel of our body filled with the Holy Spirit. We are ransomed by the Lord. We're not animals running around.
That's right. And if most people knew that from baptism we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit resides in our temples, mm-hmm. the body. But the Holy Spirit cannot reside in a temple that's being impure. Just will not do that. And people just put that aside, and they don't realize that. But the old Baltimore Catechism said we're to know, love, and serve God. It's as simple as that, to know, love, and serve Him. And when we are doing that, we do that with our spouses, to know, love, and serve them. We're doing the same thing. When we do the same thing that we're supposed to be doing with the Lord, then there's a good marriage there. And when you raise children to understand that and to come to know God in that way, and when the Father is leading them spiritually, you can't help but have a happy family. And our book is Secrets of a Happy Family. The secrets are to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. for the man to be the spiritual head of the family, and the woman to be in submission to him in everything. And, you know, that's a kind of a hard thing for a lot of women to accept, that she is to be in submission to him in everything. Everything but sin, because the higher law says no. God's law supersedes that. But she is to be in submission. So if he wants to buy a car and you don't like it, well, that's too bad. Woman is to be in total submission to the man in everything but sin.
Well, now, hopefully you have a healthy man with good discernment listening to God, so he's making good decisions. Because I know that I've even heard Deacon Ken here speak of your wisdom for many, many times. Listen to the wisdom of the wife.
Well, absolutely.
And I know I've heard you say that in talks at churches in the past.
A godly woman can turn her husband around.
Exactly.
She can change him. She can bring him into that relationship by the love that she gives him, even when he's not loving her. And you know how she does that and how she's capable of doing that? Only with the power of God and the right. Holy Spirit, because she can't do it on her own. So she has to develop. God has to become her husband. The Holy Spirit becomes right. her husband. And as she develops that relationship with him, when she does not have a godly husband, eventually he will change.
I believe
that's
you.
A powerful point Marie just brings out. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I like to say my mother gave it to me. She didn't. I'd even like to tell you the church gave it to me. The church didn't either. Marie gave me Marie was the one who led me into a personal relationship with Christ. Because we had some major problems in our marriage, my physical, my lung disease, and that just struck down everything. And as I started to unravel, Marie was getting stronger by the hour. She would get up at 5:00 in the morning, she'd do her time and prayer. And at first I was angry and resentful, and then I saw the difference. Her life was getting stronger and mine was just dissolving. So what Marie is saying is really powerful. If the man isn't going to give it to her, she's got to go directly to Christ. But when she does go to Christ, she gets the strength then to still be able to be joyful. But I want to come back just one quick second. because I'm no male or many men are out there now saying, well, what's he talking about, this Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is this enormous power that you have, and when you get confirmed mm-hmm. and the seal is upon you, it's the greatest force the universe has ever experienced. This is the same Spirit that split the Red Sea with Moses. This is the same Spirit that impregnated Mary with Jesus. It's the same Spirit that baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. It's the same Spirit, Mara, that lives within your breast. This is big-time power. This is power that changed deadpan dads into dynamite. This is that brings intimacy. Mm-hmm. This is the power that drives out isolation. This is the power that brings the dawn after a long, brutal night. This is the Holy Spirit. And when men have that, terminal illnesses mean nothing. Mm-hmm. They, instead of a catastrophe, they become a nuisance. Their marriage then takes on a quantum leap. And it really doesn't matter what people think about them. They won't be, they're not invited to the same parties anymore. That's okay. And even as their kids get older, they think their mother and father are really out to left field. But when they make their swing into maturity, we have a better relationship now with our 40-year-old kids than we do when they were 20, because when they're 20, they thought, woo, these people really got some problems. But that's, and we're celebrating our 45th year, and I have to share with you that. At 45 years of marriage, I still get excited when Marie comes up and hugs me and puts a hand across my back and stuff. I still get excited.
Good.
Still enjoyable.
Well, she's
so
beautiful.
That's the proof of the pudding. And, you know, and that's why men, if you want men to stop leaving home, if you want to stop leaving them, if you want men to stop leaving a filet mignon at home and going downtown trying to snatch a hamburger at a bar, that's the reason. Because they can't see it. Because they're blocked. And the Holy Spirit isn't leading them to that. The number one problem we have in our society is the male. And the male is because his pride, his arrogance, and his macho. And when he puts this down and begins to die to himself so that his wife can grow and his children can grow, everything else takes care. Jesus says to us, Matthew 6:33, seek him first, and everything else will be added. My favorite sport was basketball. I never was able to ever play it because I'm way too small. That's one thing Jesus has never added to me. I guess I'll have to wait to that till the next world.
Well, you really—it's true—and I think that a lot of men don't realize if they actually were faithful, as Mother Teresa said so clearly, God doesn't ask you to be successful; He asks you to be faithful.
Absolutely.
If they were just so faithful to saying, "Lord, you know what? I need to surrender now," or the wife, "Fill me with Your love. Just fill me like it says in Peter, fill me so that I can love today, or I can forgive today. Fill me with Your forgiveness. All love is divine. Forgiveness is divine. We're only human. Why not ask for an infilling of that Holy Spirit, the sacrament we have through baptism and confirmation and First Communion, so that we can actually be the sacramental marriage that You are.
That's right. And that's what the Lord is calling us to. He's calling us to submit to him. But he has to be the center of a marriage.
Has to be.
It's not two people. There's got to be three. Mm-hmm. He has to be the center of that marriage, and both husband and wife need to be under his headship.
Yes.
I was talking to a group of men at a retreat, and we get on the subject of pretty much what we're talking about now. And I said, gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Look up and read the book of Tobiah. And I said, it's a great story. I said, this woman had married seven guys, and they all died on her wedding night. Yeah. Now he's going to marry her. I said, this woman was not only hot, she was deadly. And I said, can you imagine the nervousness that he must have had?
Yes.
And what happens? Angel Raphael comes down and tells him how to break the curse. Mm-hmm. Pray with her before you have to consummate the marriage. Mm-hmm. I said, how many times have you men, just before you had sexual relationship with your wife, said, hold on, let's just stop for a minute
and actually pray
before you start? Well, you know, men are like boys. Men are always boys, no matter how old they are. And when they get embarrassed, like, you ever watch little boys? You catch them doing something wrong, or you embarrass them. After a couple of seconds, they'll start to giggle. And then if they're really nervous, they'll start to cry. But mostly they giggle. Well, there was a silence. And then you heard about one or two guys trying to, you know, hold it back. And this guy, they said, look at this old guy. This is ridiculous what he's talking about. Then they started to laugh. And before you know it, almost 100 guys were laughing. And so I went home, and the conference was over. But 3 weeks later, I got a letter, and it said, no, it was a phone call. The guy said, you know, I was really uptight when I said, you heard you talk. He said, I thought you had no business speaking on a subject like that. And he said, but you know, my wife and I went to a party, come home, we're both feeling kind of good. And he said, I felt this was a good time. And we were laying on the bed, just getting ready to have sexual relations. She looked and she said, he looked at her and he said, wait a minute, before we start, why don't we kneel down and pray? So he said, kneeling down on the bed, I looked at her, and through the light coming through the window, I saw the tears rolling down her eyes. And I said, what's that for? She says, they've been married 13 years, he said. She said, all my life, she says, I've been waiting for someone to really love me. And she says, tonight I really feel that I'm being loved rather than just being used.
That's beautiful.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
Women want to be loved. They want to be loved, and that's the core. Lust is taking.
Exactly.
Love is giving.
Exactly.
So in a sexual relationship, whenever either one is taking for themselves to get their need met, mm-hmm. they're in error.
Right.
Because then that becomes lust. The giving is when I'm doing it to fulfill the need of the other person. That's
exactly.
love.
I did something yesterday that I could never have done 25 years ago because I was too wrapped up being young. We come to this hotel for this conference. We get into our room, and Marie says, I really don't like this room. There's just something about it I don't like. Mm-hmm. So Marie went to one of the talks on the conference, and I went down to the head desk, and I said, I'd like to change my room. And the gal says, why? And I said, because my wife doesn't like the room. She says, well, that's kind of not our problem. So I said, madam, are you married? She says, yeah. I said, you know, when a wife does not like a room, I says, the guy might as well sleep out in the parking lot. She started laughing. She says, oh, you know, you're so cute. I'm going to give you a room, change it for you. And you know what she did? And God has a great sense of humor. She put us on the 14th floor of this hotel. And that, no way could we afford being up there.
Oh,
but that's
beautiful.
What he did.
Praise
now,
Lord.
The point of my story there is that I took a second to love Marie the way she needed to be loved. She didn't like the room. I thought mm-hmm. it was okay. I had no problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? When men are young, the first thing they look for when they go into a hotel is what kind of a lounge, what kind of music. And when you get older, the first thing they look for is what kind of a bathtub do they have. And this had a pretty good bathtub, so I had no problem. But I knew that she didn't like it. And I'm just trying to tell you.
Well, thank you for honoring her needs.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to say to the young guys, listen, that's how you love a woman. You love them the way they want to be loved, not the way you think they should be loved.
Right.
I've been so blessed.
Time, like you said earlier, it takes time to know them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
To know them first and to love them. Even the lady, like you said, after 13 years of marriage. And I have actually heard you both give a talk that many deacons and their wives gave one night at St. Francis Church in Vista. And it was on waiting for marriage, because sex and marriage is God's design, but it's also completely different and completely sacred. And people don't realize that our Catholic Church, the marriage is a sacrament, and therefore all within the marriage would be from God and a sacrament. And so therefore this sex in a marriage will be sacred as well. And it was a really great talk that you gave a few years ago on that.
And they've given, the church has given us everything that we need to help us in a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they have NFP out there. They have all kinds of things to help. And so we need to really get out and try to bring people back into this.
One of the things that I wanted to share, too, just what Marie just said, is the church, you know, we have the seven sacraments, but the sacrament of reconciliation in a marriage is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And to get a husband should go to set the relationship. He should go to confession with his wife, to go together. But the whole point is that the whole idea of it is not just the forgiveness. It's not a spiritual car wash. It's not just to forgive what you did. The power of the Holy Spirit, it's preventive medicine. The Holy Spirit will bless you. And just recently, Marie and I were in Temecula. We visited our children and their grandchildren. And so we thought, well, let's go to confession earlier. So we went in there at 3:30, and we just kind of settled down and getting reading, getting prepared. It was a big line. And I looked and I saw in front of me, and it was a guy and his teenage son, and my eye just popped. You know who it was? It was my son-in-law and his grandson.
Oh, how beautiful.
And I almost started to cry, because that's exactly what I thought.
So beautiful.
How beautiful to be taking your 17-year-old son and going with him to confession on a Saturday afternoon.
That's and me. The grandfather was there, too.
My grandfather, but I was two rows behind. They didn't even know I was
confession.
There.
Oh, wow, praise God.
We're blessed. We're seeing the things that we failed to do when the kids were younger. What the locust has eaten, God can restore. And that's what's happening with our family. And we're just really blessed with that. But one of the core things in a relationship that you have to, Satan is getting in there and he's trying to separate couples, and one of the core things is anger and unforgiveness, and those two have to be dealt with. Anger has to be dealt with. You should never ever go to bed angry with each other, because
biblical.
The devil gets in there. Satan gets in there. Never let the sun set on your anger. It resolve anger. And
Exactly. That's so true, Marie, because love is a decision, and so is in forgiveness. They're both decisions. Each side of the coin, one side is love and the other side is forgiveness. And you make that decision to forgive. And it, like Marie says, if you don't, it festers and it rots you. And it's one of the fastest ways to deteriorate your marriage. And another thing I like to share for men, I like to share for guys, is to say, don't put your wife down in public. And don't make a joke out of her weight. That's not funny. And young guys notoriously do that, and they don't realize what damage it's doing. Don't make fun of her in public. And see, that's a very important point.
And forgiveness is the key.
It is the key.
And you can forgive. You can forgive someone who has hurt you if you've already accepted the forgiveness of Christ for you. I think that's the core of it. When you really realize that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. That scripture. While you were still sinning. And that was one of the core things that I saw in my relationship, was holding on to anger. This was years ago towards Ken, that the Lord pointed that out to me. And because of his great love for me, I was able to forgive him for things that I thought were wrong, and also forgive myself. And so the key to any good relationship is dealing with those emotions that come up, and dealing with anger and unforgiveness.
And asking the Lord.
When we do marriage counseling now, the second question I ask, the first question when they say they're Catholic, the second question I ask is, when's the last time you've been in confession? And then they go to confession, then we begin the counseling. Because, and I have to share this, and I know I don't mean to offend anybody, but if you're not counseling with the Word, you have very little else to counsel with.
Exactly.
Everything else to counsel with. It's of the Word. And go ahead,
that's why it's so important to get into the Word of God. We have another book out, and it's the Bread of Life Catholic Bible Study. And it's a powerful study on the Sunday readings, but there are personal questions there and to relate to your life. And every day the readings, the church readings, if you look at those and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, what does he want me to learn from this? How can I incorporate this, what he's saying, what Jesus is saying in this gospel, into my life? If you do that on a daily basis, it's incredible the healing that will take place in your relationship.
We have over 10,000 inmates using the Bread of Life Catholic Bible Study.
Praise God.
Approximately 6,000 English and 4,000 Spanish. And now we get 10 to 15 letters every 6 days a week at home, inmates asking us two questions, and it's kind of like a homegrown apologetic course. But the greatest apologetics is exactly what St. Augustine says, love and then do whatever else you want. And that's all you have to do, is to love someone, is to serve them, and let them become alive. Love means dying to yourself. It's not about Marie, it's not about me, it's not about the husband and the wife, it's about Jesus Christ. When he's the center, everything else will be added unto you.
Thank you, Deacon Ken and Marie Finn, for joining us today Thank you here at St. Joseph's Radio, live from Anaheim at the Convention Center for the SCRC Conference. And their book, is Secrets of a Happy Family, and their Bible study is the Bread of Life Bible study, and all can be gotten through the St. Joseph's Radio. Online is www.stjosephsradio.com, or you can phone 714-744-0336 or fax 714-744-1998. I'm your host here saying thank you for having us here tonight, and thank you for being with us, Deacon Canon Marie Finn.
And just one last thing as we close off. We just wanted to tell you that we are going to have a marriage seminar on the role of the man and the woman off of this book, and it will be October 29th in La Quinta, California, at St. Francis of Assisi Church. It's a one-day seminar. It'll begin at 8 in the morning and be over at 4:15.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a powerful seminar.
And thank you for having us.